News came out very recently. It was announced with great fanfare on Russian news, surprisingly announced this way, that they are retreating from Kherson. That's that Ukrainian city, which is mostly on the west bank of the river Dnipro, and where there's been a battle for about 3 months. That's really been the fulcrum of the war for the past 3 months. So this would appear to be a triumph for the Ukrainians. So why on earth would the Ruskis announce this with such prominence? Why would they draw such attention to a reverse? It just doesn't stack up. Anyway, there's been ample evidence about a fortnight that they're pulling out of Kherson, but not all their troops are pulled out. Are they ever going to pull a lot of them out? They've been evacuating some civilians, so they say probably kidnapping some. Maybe some are genuinely willing to leave, but how much of a due choice do you have with a gun pointed in your face? Are you willing to leave? And if not, ooh, you must be on the other side. Even if you don't really want to leave, you know, the city is going to be bombarded. The Ukrainians are moving in. So whichever side you're on, you want out of there if you have a survival instinct. Anyway, so the announcement was made by the Russian Defense Minister, Sergei Shoigu, and it's happening. However, the Ukrainians said some days ago they found that Russian soldiers are taking off their uniforms, donning mufti, and moving into civilian buildings. This might be a bear trap to tempt the Ukrainians to enter the city, and then they'll be mauled. That's the idea. No doubt a lot of booby traps and mines set up and things like that. So the Russians are perhaps reluctantly moving to the east of the river Dnipro. I mean, I think no doubt there is some falsity to it, but I doubt it's a complete lie because there's quite a lot of evidence they pulled out of it somewhat. And even if the Russians are to the east of the Dnipro, they could be quite confident the Ukrainians will find it very difficult to advance across that river. The few bridges are there, have been badly damaged, they'll be advancing under fire, and so on. So the Ukrainians are rightly circumspect about entering the city of Kherson. And so Kherson is obviously on that river which flows out to the Black Sea, and the Russians were keen to grab it for various reasons, psychological reasons. Remember, since they launched their illegal and unprovoked invasion of Ukraine in February this year, they claim to have annexed the regions of Kherson, Zaporizhia, Donetsk, and Luhansk. And Kherson was the only regional capital that the Russians had captured. So it's quite a psychological blow to be forced to withdraw from there. If the Ukrainians are going to have it, the Russians are keen to make it worthless by wrecking anything of value, and the Russians will be on the east bank of the Dnipro still shelling the city, and the city is largely wrecked as it is. So the Ukrainians are advancing very slowly. I think they need to feel their way. Are there minefields? Is there anything away? Are there Russians hiding in various buildings? No doubt there are. You wouldn't have to leave very many, just a few hundred, to create an awful headache for the Ukrainians to clear it building by building. But the guys you're left behind, that's largely a suicide mission, unless you're going to surrender, because they can't resupply you with food, with ammunition, or anything. So you think any real head cases would volunteer stay behind? Maybe they're just being left behind, some of them. And in civilian clothes, just try and move through Ukrainian lines. I don't know what they're going to do if they're not going to capitulate. So that's why I take this cum grano salis, that the Russians are really withdrawing. But nevertheless, it's still good news for the Ukrainians, because the Russians, once they had that bridgehead to the west, the river Dnipro, they had that hope of moving further west and capturing the last remaining bit of the Ukrainian coast, which is still free. You know, the ports of Odessa, Chornomorsk, year, and there was a possibility to renew it and prolong it. And if Russia could capture the whole of the coastline, obviously Ukraine would be a landlocked country, even more at the mercy of Russia, harder to export their grain, sunflower oil, their various exports of manufactures, because the road and rail links just aren't sufficient. There just isn't the capacity to export the tonnage they need. They're going to obviously export some of their produce, but just not enough of it, because obviously the water's taking the weight, and that's not true on the roads and the rails. That's the state of play at the moment. But General Surovikin said it was just impossible to supply forces to the west of the Dnipro River with the ammunition, the fuel, the food, whatever else that they needed, medical supplies. So, the Ukrainians, obviously, their best advice to try and go to the north of that area, and come round from the east, you know, surround them. This enveloping maneuver, obviously, the Russian army, even their top brass can see that one coming. You still have to cross the Dnieper River, you would, but obviously where there are more bridges, where it's narrower, where you have to go by boat, it's not such a long crossing, things like that. So there's more cards that Russia's got up its sleeve, blowing up the dam a bit to the east of the Dnieper River and flooding some of the land. The Russians are worried if the Ukrainians get across the Dnieper River, they go to the east of it, they can advance on Crimea. Will Crimea be cut off? Russia set a lot of store by creating a land corridor from the Rostov-na-Donu area all the way through towards Moldova. And that land corridor, well, is being collapsed. I think it's going to. So this is withdrawal. It might be linked with Russia's open up a diplomatic initiative, although notably, it's just been announced today that President Putin will not be going to the G20 summit in Bali, Indonesia, that he was invited. Now, some Occidental governments, they lobbied hard for the Indonesians to disinvite him. But no, the president said that he would indeed be inviting President Putin, but Putin's not going. He's sending his redoubtable foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov. Lavrov is age 71. Now, for years, he's been asking him to retire, and he keeps being refused permission to retire, because Putin regards him as being rather effective at his job. Lavrov, he speaks flawless English, one of the few things I can say in his favour. The other problem with Lavrov, he came to light, he had a mistress. Now, Putin runs a very tight ship, he's quite moralistic, despite being an adulterer himself. I mean, I don't care if he's an adulterer. Obviously, split divorce from his wife, Ludmila, years ago, and he's married to Alina Kabayeva, that Olympic rhythmic gymnast. And probably had an affair with someone else, but he just doesn't like it coming out in the press. And obviously completely hypocritical, because it's come out in the press about Putin as well. So who would replace Sergei Lavrov? Some people say Lavrov is trying to do his job badly by deliberately just resorting to hyperbole on the basis that he'll be sacked, but it hasn't worked for him to date. So Putin, I thought he might be humiliated, cold-shouldered by the others. Biden wasn't even going to meet him unless to discuss the release of Americans who are in prison in Russia. I mean, if I was Putin, I might have said, we'll discuss it and maybe even release one of them as a goodwill gesture to sort of open the negotiations. So the Russians have to offer some concessions and so on. But you think it'd be quite... This is a big deception campaign, because disinformation is important in warfare. As Winston Churchill said, the truth is so sacred in a war, it must be accompanied by a bodyguard of lies. If you've got to choose between lives and lies, surely you'd rather save the lives by telling the lies. But that's why they will be advancing gingerly, the Ukrainians, to that there are no traps there. No doubt there will be at least some traps, at least some troops there, to slow them down. They didn't want to get mired in urban fighting house by house, which even the Ukrainians are victorious, would cost them a lot of casualties. And it just came out today that the United States estimates that Ukraine and Russia both suffered about 100,000 military casualties, as in roughly 25,000 killed in both cases and roughly 70,000 wounded, some captured, and most of the captured are wounded already. There might be missing. There's the civilian casualties, obviously tens of thousands on the Ukrainian side, over 10,000 proven civilian deaths, and the United Nations is playing catch up with that. About three times the number of injuries, and tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, Ukrainians kidnapped, including children. What would you say? Enslaved, if they're forced to work in Russia? So, I mean, the Russian regime is just utterly morally bankrupt. It's committed all sorts of war crimes on an absolutely enormous scale, including the most barbaric atrocities, and there's absolutely irrefragable proof of that. Right, so thank you for watching my channel. So please donate to me on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Goodbye, everyone.